Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw for Virtual Vacation Events, and we're here for the new age of luxury. And we have a panel of esteemed travel advisors, or people who are working at travel agencies. And we're here to talk a little bit about the market today as we emerge from the pandemic, specifically the luxury travel market, and how travel agencies and travel advisors are negotiating it and getting through this. And we're going to find out more from our panel. First, we have Jack Eason of Embark Beyond. He's the founder and managing partner. We have Albert Herrera, newly arrived as Chief Commercial Officer of Global Travel Collection, which is part of Internova Travel Group. We have Michael Johnson, who is president of Travel Edge. And last but not certainly not least, Valerie Wilson, who's chairman of Valerie Wilson Travel. Let's talk a little bit about what is luxury travel after the pandemic for your agencies? What is different about luxury travel today and the future? I'm gonna start with you, Valerie, since you've seen it all the last few years, and tell us a little bit about what you think, if it is different.
Thank you, James, and hello to everybody. I think that the most important thing to remember is that luxury travel did not die during the pandemic. It just slowed down to a trickle, and yet we still were able to start planning trips, whether they were going to happen in 21 or got postponed or changed or canceled and moved forward. But for us, 2022 looks like it's going to be a gangbuster year, and all of us will have a probably a little difficult time keeping up with all of it. But the exciting news is it means we're bringing back either hours, more hours to all of our advisors, or bringing back some from furlough and looking at the changes that will happen. But to me, travel is still pertinent in our lifestyle. It's just a little different, and a lot of this is either last minute planning or way out planning.
No, it's absolutely true. And of course, for your own agency, of course, I couldn't let you get away with saying we just had a major announcement where you are now going to work with Frosch, and you kind of did a merger there, and we wrote about it. But that is one of the big changes for your agency, I guess.
Without a doubt. But the most important thing is to keep everybody excited and happy. And for Valerie Wilson Travel and all of our people, the acquisition by Frosch is a monumental, was a monumental decision, and of course a monumental change in talking to all of our people. But we've been very successful doing that all week in New York and on Zoom calls. And I am for one that I can't wait till Zoom calls are over with and we're meeting all in person again.
I totally agree. Now, Jack, there you go. Well, absolutely. Although it has been useful. I know I've talked to all of you over Zoom over this period. Jack, same question. I mean, what do you think about luxury travel as we emerge from the pandemic for your agency? What is different about luxury travel today and in the future?
You know, I very much want to echo what Val said. The only thing I'll add maybe is the way people are consuming. It's not about frivolous consumption as it was in 2019, 2018. It's much more about meaningful consumption,
right?
And meaningful experiences. And what we're finding is the key to unlocking a spend potential is really drilling down to the values of the client that you're talking to, which has changed somewhat in the past year. I wouldn't say drastically, but I think disruption really brings out trends that were coming our way before. And also, I think helps people really reevaluate what's important in their life. Because at our end of the spectrum, you know, we're at the top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's about self-actualization, understanding what your legacy is. And now more than ever, doing something meaningful or connecting to the people that you couldn't connect with before is really driving travel as an aspirational platform for discovery.
Absolutely. Now, same question for you, Albert. In terms of what is luxury travel after the pandemic, what's it going to look like?
Oh, we're seeing it right now. And again, to tie in with what Valerie and Jack said, is that obviously it continues to evolve, especially in this segment. Just look at what the occupancies, for example, of the luxury set hotels that are open in the US alone right now, 99% average daily rates increases from a RevPAR perspective in the luxury class. So all that pent up emotion that's, you know, for the folks that had the, you know, the I guess you might say the wealth, wanted to travel, has truly now become pent up demand. So we're seeing, obviously, as you know, with all, we forget even talking about jets, yachts, villas, that is so passe. It's the reality. It's what people are buying and more. But again, it's meaningful consumption, as Jack said. The one thing as well is how it's also evolved is how luxury travel has become also so synonymous with a travel advisor. Just last night on TV in the CBS evening segment, there was a segment about how travel advisors are so important now. Getting out of this, book your trips. Of course, I talked about fees and all that, but that's another subject altogether.
Right.
But it shows that if this is evolving, it's all good for us, right?
No, absolutely. And Michael, in terms of what you're seeing at Travel Edge, I mean, is luxury travel changing? Because maybe people are going to turn to travel advisors increasingly because of this?
Absolutely. I want to echo everything that Valerie, Jack, and Albert have said, in particular, the importance of the advisor. So surfing OTAs and making decisions based on ratings from people you've never met before has really taken a backseat to the importance of confidence and peace of mind that an advisor inspires in their clients. And I think the pandemic has really illustrated that value. It's about making it easy. And so I think the importance of the advisor has never been as at the forefront as today. The other thing that Valerie mentioned, which is really interesting, and we're seeing the same thing, is a shift to booking patterns. There's kind of an immediate travel as borders open up and people are able to get out, they're interested, or it's further out. You know, I was looking at some statistics just to get ready for this conversation. And you know, one group had reported that the average time from booking to check-in had been down to 50 days, which is a 38% reduction since 2019. So it really does support that idea that there's a lot of pent-up demand out there, and that as soon as properties come back online and borders open up, we're going to see that influx.
Okay, I'm going to stick with you for the next question. Are we going to get back to what was normal in 2019, or how would you recommend to your travel advisors out there how they should approach the market today?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we use 2019 as a benchmark because it was the last time that there was a degree of normalcy. But I don't know that we want to return to 2019. I think we're in a different world. And you know, I think Jack talked about trends that were already there have been accelerated. So it is going to look different. Will we get back to the classics? The classics will always be the classics, and gazing at art in the world's finest museums, that's not going anywhere. But there are some trends we need to be aware of. We expect fewer short business trips, but more longer immersive trips with people working from remote locations.
Got it. Yeah.
That will have an impact on leisure travel, as will multi-generational travel, where people had to kind of park celebrations and park acknowledging milestones for obvious reasons. That demand is real, and we expect that to come back online.
Now, Jack, sort of the same question. I mean, are we going to get back to 2019, or what are you forecasting? And what are you telling your travel advisors to how they should approach luxury travel buyers right now, clients?
Thank you. I strongly believe that at the end of the day, everything goes back to equilibrium. And so those core feelings of people wanting to be together, whatever they may have been, you know, even frivolity will eventually come back. How it manifests itself, I think, will change. Just like at every disruption level, that changes a little bit. But those core human innate feelings, I don't think are going to change. So some things I think will change. First of all, I think the major compression, and Albert alluded to this, what we're seeing in America is going to continue into 2022. Because 2022 is going to be a really tough year to get space. We have all of 2020, 2021, and 2022 compressing into that one year. And especially from the group segment, it's going to cause a big base at a lot of properties. driving up rates even more. The other thing I think that's going to be very different in the next couple of years are meetings and large conventions. I think that to some extent that's going to shift to be a hybrid model. We already see what Marriott is doing in Four Seasons. I think it's spectacular where you can get, you know, macro conversations on micro levels, having several properties hosting, say, 500 people at a time, talking big picture on screen, and then smaller breakout sessions or rooms together, which I think is great because too big sometimes is too much. And then I think on the corporate, like what Michael's saying, that's going to look very different. I think that's going to come around the slowest. And what I'm seeing is those small hustler kind of companies that want to get that business going. They're the ones that are first going to be on the road. They can't wait for borders to open, for Asia to open. And once that happens and they start to get market share from the big boys, I think those big boys are going to reassess their travel needs and plans. So,
well, we certainly hope. I always said corporate's going to come back the last, but maybe it'll come back sooner than we think. Valerie, sort of the same question about what are you telling your travel advisors out there in the market about how to get back, how to start selling to their clients, and whether we're going to go back to what we were in 2019?
Well, James, I probably go back to the same thing I've been saying for 40 years. It's your responsibility to reach out to every customer personally. You should not be sitting back and waiting for the phone to ring, because it's like starting a new business all over again and selling yourself and your knowledge and sharing your information and your excitement and passion for travel.
Right.
So the first thing I said to everybody, and Jennifer and Kimberly and I do it simultaneously, is to reach out personally to every customer and think of them as a friend, to say, how are you? What have you been doing? I'm sure you're not planning to travel now, but let's think about the 6 months from now, or that special birthday, or plans for a family reunion. And it, you know, it might take us a year to put all that together, but let's start talking about the ideas and the opportunities, because literally the advisor is the advocate for all of our customers about luxury travel.
No, you might get surprised and they'll say, well, I want to go next week, right?
Oh, and I'm excited to do it next week. I've actually set a goal, James. I'm traveling every month to a different place, at least 3 to 5 days, if not longer, every month for the next whole year.
Take me with you.
Absolutely. You're a pathfinder, Val.
I'd love to just say what Val just shared. There's the great and really successful people do what Valerie just spoke about. And I know so many other people look at Valerie now and they're saying, I can't do that. They don't want to hear from her. I don't have that relationship. You build that relationship. It's that trusted relationship, that personal relationship. People do business with people. And that's what makes Valerie successful, and Kimberly and so many other people. You'll keep hearing them say, reach out and just touch people. Doesn't have to have an agenda. Listen to what Valerie said. That'll make you successful forever.
Great. Now, Albert, I want to give you a chance to answer that question too, in terms of
a lot of good stuff there. Well, you know what? It is the new normal, right? Everyone talks about 19 levels, but I think we're going to be surpassing 19, because just look at all the news that's out there that's telling people about travel. It's on primetime news every day, in the evening and the morning, right? So, and also for the travel industry, for the advisors, for all of us, we are resilient. We've seen the worst of times. We'll see the best of times again. It's going to be fast. It's going to come back fast. So we all have to be ready, equipped, and knowledgeable about it. Jack touched on about group space, for example.
Right.
The best resorts, they're booked up until 2023 for the best dates, because again, you don't want the space, guess what? I have a second and a third option. So take it, sign the deal, or we'll move on as well. No matter where you are in the world, because there is so much of that. So from a travel advisor perspective, know what you're dealing with, know your customer, get to know the client, but more importantly as well, get ready for this, because it is going to come back. It's going to be fast, but yet do not lose what you came into this business for, that human connection, that knowledge, and the high caliber of delivery. Because that's what people will be paying for and looking for.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Now, Albert, we'll stick with you for the next question, which is, you know, what does your travel agency, and I know you're fairly new to your group with the global travel collection. But let's talk about what your agencies are doing for your travel advisors, and many of whom are independent contractors. How are you helping them recover? And what are kind of the most important things your agencies are doing for travel advisors?
When you're dealing with a group like Internova, that 65,000 advisors, it kind of is mind blowing sometimes when you think about it. But simply said, really, being the rookie in the room here, what we are doing on behalf of the advisors that work with the network is really one, it's providing them the tools, as I mentioned, to be equipped for this changing environment, for the new normal, to help them navigate a tough. It's still going to be a tough time. It's still going to be uncertain times. It's fighting for space, fighting for air seats now, and also advocacy, right? Advocacy across different sectors to help them to hear that, you know what, that this industry of ours, travel advising, be a travel advisor or travel agent, whatever you call it, is truly a viable career move.
No, absolutely.
And last but not least, also navigating the uncharted territories. Like, we're going through the Olympics thing right now, right? Which is just 2 months away, and still the question marks about bookings being made. So how we're helping them navigate that for their clients, maybe a refund, maybe a reallocation, whatever it may be. So all those things that come into play.
Michael, same question in terms of what Travel Edge is doing for your independent contractors, for your travel advisors, helping them, as Albert just said, navigate to, as we emerge now, because we're not in the middle of the crisis. Everything looks a lot more hopeful.
Yeah, it's such an important question, right? I think we always need to challenge ourselves around what we're doing to improve the advisor experience. So, you know, at Travel Edge, we know that there's this tremendous amount of pent-up demand, and we need to be ready. You don't wait for the flood to build your boat. You build your boat in advance. So we've really started to scale up our capabilities, right? You know, Albert talked about, you know, investing in booking platforms and tools. And we've gone out and recruited a lot of, you know, high caliber leadership to support the advisors. We've got a marketing campaign that we'll be unveiling soon. We're very excited about. And then finally, you know, we've also invested in building an in-house 24/7 support for advisors and clients. So really, said differently, we've kind of built the infrastructure for the business that we know is coming, such that there won't be a lag in advisor support. It's just so critical. As the advisors take off, they don't have time to worry about, you know, some of these challenges, and it's helpful for them to have confidence that the host agency that they're partnered with has that infrastructure in place.
So Jack, same question in terms of what you've been doing. And I know you've also developed a lot of other programs during this year. You end up selling lots of different things that weren't necessarily all, they were travel related, but they were definitely, it sounded at some point you were just throwing up anything against the wall that would work. And some of them did.
You know, part of that strategy, I mean, we really have like a 5-pronged strategy, but that is storytelling and media, right? And creating reasons to reach out to people and talk to them, because that opens up, like Valerie said, the floodgates for everything else. So, you know, storytelling and media, whether it's social media or mainstream media, has been a very important strategy for us to help with our advisors. Also building, everybody has a business plan and a marketing plan. And then it's thinking through your strategy. Every month we reevaluate it with each advisor, and we build our marketing programs to help support each specific one. With the number three is brand partnerships. Brand partnerships with like-minded brands have really helped us with client acquisition for all of our advisors, and also brand recognition for us with aligned brands. The other thing are campaigns, right? Like what you alluded to. You know, we see trends just barely emerging, and we really try to be very proactive. Like what we did about a month and a half ago when Greece was announcing that it was opening, we were able to close, you know, several $1 million in 3-week period of Greece selling, because they were the first country in Europe announcing their opening with specific plans. So we really got out there. We were very proactive, and we empowered every advisor to have those tools to do that. And lastly, I think what Michael and Albert were talking about is building resources and tools to be able to help people scale faster and work smarter, not just harder.
No, those are great. Thanks. And I know you've been out there trying to just stir up the pot and try to make things work in the past year. And now that things are getting back, you're actually starting to sell real travel again. So that's great. Valerie, same question. How are you helping your advisors through this and sort of get, you said keep in communication earlier and just keep going because they're maybe ready to sell travel next week. And of course, you personally are going out on the road and saying you can travel, right?
Right. Well, you certainly hit our number one point is it's communication, constant communication, actually. It's much easier for any advisor to unburden some of what they're worrying about or thinking about with someone they trust. And I think all of our people trust us so that communication has just been strengthened more one-on-one and also, of course, in weekly town hall meetings, et cetera. We also, like each of you have said, worked on what our tools are. So we streamlined our tools within Valerie Wilson Travel, and we made sure that they had quick links so that it was not a laborious process. And in that process, part of the process was re-educating and retraining or bringing up old and new ideas and showing them where they were on our intranet so that they were comfortable with whatever new tool or other opportunity could be. And I think a lot of that communication also said, you have to stay in touch, certainly on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. with your key customers, because the old adage, out of sight, out of mind, even if it's just a call and make sure how they are personally.
Right.
So that we did the same thing with all of our advisors. And for us, it's been very successful. And the thought that we gave more training and shared more knowledge and gave ideas.
No, absolutely. I mean, you can always call them up and say, did you get the Moderna or the Pfizer or the Johnson & Johnson? I mean, that
seems... And of course, the first person that asked me that, I said, I have no idea what the shot was. So the second time around, I asked, okay, which one did I get?
It doesn't really matter in the end, but it is.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't thinking about which one of the pharmaceuticals had produced it. I was just sure to make sure I was in line early to get it.
Well, make sure you get your card. That's the biggest thing.
Well, right? I did get my card. I have my card.
Okay. Jack, I want to turn to you to talk a little bit about, kind of what are the high-end travel products, cruises, tours, resorts? What is really most in demand today for either later in the year or into next year? What is selling?
Well, it's no surprise that domestic U.S., Caribbean, Mexico are leading the pack. Caribbean, Mexico were leading the pack in the winter. Now, again, we're going back to what we saw last summer to be domestic. But the greatest growth is certainly the Mediterranean. Leaps and bounds. I mean, last month, 65% of our new bookings were to Europe.
Right.
65%. This month, it's about 78% so far. We're about 6-7 days into the month. So with the drastic compression in the U.S. domestic market, with prices being unreasonably high, and people really wanting their first choice to be Europe, and those strong indications of opening, most of our clients are focused on this summer going to Europe and rekindling that familiarity that they have with a beautiful place that they're in love with.
No, absolutely. Now, Albert, same question. What is your agency group seeing in terms of the products and destinations that are most in demand right now, both for this year and into 22?
You know, I said it earlier, for the most part, villas, private yachts, et cetera, but obviously cruises, right? All that pent up emotion, demand that's been waiting there is being rebooked and booked as well. The one thing to note as well here is just a piece of advice for everyone out there. Tying with what Jack said, I mean, the U.S., I mean, I was planning a trip, okay, just personal, planning to get away to Turks and Caicos. I did it myself. I was just on whatever airline.com checking the airfare. The airfare to Turks and Caicos from JFK was, they were asking me $3,500, right? $3,500 for the dates I was looking for. And then in the meantime, I just went online to look for Italy on AmericanAirlines.com. The same dates, I was able to get business class to Milano for $1,900.
It's true.
So there's a, why even doubt, right? If I'm vaccinated. So all those things as well. So that's what people are doing, because people are, because the certainty, people think that they know they can go short haul easier without having all the red tape. But if people, as people are thinking and planning ahead and sort of want to venture out more and more, then Europe will open up, the rest of the world will open up. So that's what they're booking, and that's what they should be looking for as well.
Well, we also have to keep track of what's opening, because, you know, it's just a week ago, I was down at World Travel and Tourism Council, and everybody's getting excited because Europe's going to open up. Although I kind of said cautiously, well, let's wait and see. But then, of course, this week it looked even more promising. So,
but we still don't know what that looks like. And even what's open may close. Look what just happened to Anguilla or St. Bart's. So we can't count anything. And it's just because it's open doesn't mean it's going to stay open. So everything is proceeding with cautious optimism.
Absolutely.
And also flexibility, right? And that you're talking to your consumer, your client. They need to know this as well.
Set and keep it simple.
And have a backup plan as well.
Okay. Now, Michael, same question. And what is Travel Edge seeing in terms of what products and destinations are looking good right now? And especially, and you sort of go across two countries there with Canada and the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to pull on what Albert was just talking about, which is absolutely critical. I think it starts with flexibility, right? So there is this kind of uncertainty out there. So people are looking for options. To Jack's point, yes, domestic, Mexico, Caribbean, Greece has been strong for us. Iceland has been strong for us. We're seeing a return to small ship cruising in particular. But I think it comes back to the importance of a sense of confidence that if something changes, a border is closed, a property comes online, offline, whatever, that there's an ability for that client to pivot. And I think that links right back to, it's not so much the product that's selling, it's the sense of confidence that the luxury advisor inspires in their client that's critical.
Absolutely. And Val, I'll close it out with you with that question. And what is Valerie Wilson Travel seeing as kind of the top products and destinations that are good? I mean, you're obviously heading off to travel in a lot of different places. Maybe when you travel, they'll follow. So that might change, right?
Well, it's certainly one of the reasons. It's why I started the business. I love traveling and sharing those ideas. I think that, you know, we all know right now it's been mostly Caribbean, Mexico, and domestic travel. And I think that the branch out into the international travel again, and I want to bring us back to those days because Valerie Wilson Travel's always done probably 70% internationally versus domestically, so that It's again, being that advocate and the trust that your clients have with you, and whether you're me or an advisor or an associate of mine, that they trust that we're telling them the best information we can, and that we're allowing them to have options and flexibility about what they're doing. I do think that, you know, we're seeing travelers that they want to get away mentally, they want to get away physically, they want to be with family, or they want to be with new friends. And Kimberly told me recently about a new phrase, which I hadn't even thought about, called pod travel, which are the people you've been communicating with during the pandemic. And so we're seeing a little bit of those people gathering together, traveling, instead of just individual travel or family travel.
No, absolutely. I've seen that trend too, but we'll see how long the pods exist. I don't know. But pods for me is a different thing. I think of pod people, but that's a...
Well, I say, what pod do I fit into? I don't know.
That's right. Well, Valerie, you're in multiple pods. You're fine.
Okay, I better be.
Yeah. Now, Jack, we're going to close this out now. Is there anything else you want to tell travel advisors out there, both what they should be thinking about, what your travel agency is doing, and what the future holds?
I think that everyone, like Val said, you should reach out to your clients, talk to them about the opportunities out there. Just like Albert said, tell them there's a $1,900 round trip business class fare to Europe. Now is the time. book something, make sure that it's flexible and cancelable, keep it simple, but get things on the books, because you're much more likely to get people going and thinking than not.
Absolutely. And Albert, you just got a nod, you know, from Jack, but what is your best advice to travel advisors out there, you know, about what they should be doing as we move forward?
Keep the conversations going, you know, develop the true partnerships with your clients, your partners as well, because now that we're going to get crazier, and that sadly, I have to say it, back to normal, or the new normal really here, is that you as an advisor have to show the value, right? There's so much good publicity right now about using a travel advisor. So guess what? You're no better person than to tell that story yourself and why you're essential in every transaction, maybe a weekend to wherever, to a big trip, around the world trip, but you have been part of that equation.
Michael, same question. What do you want to tell travel advisors out there about what the future holds in terms of luxury travel?
Yeah, first thing I want to do is just acknowledge and applaud their resilience. I mean, if anybody had a reason to give up over the last year, it was the travel advisor, but they stuck in this business because of, you know, this passion for the industry and for their client. I don't really have much to say that's different from Albert and Jack. I think it's really around, you know, trust your expertise, reach out to your clients. Don't look at the conversation as transactional. Look at it through the lens of empathy. Get to understand where they are and just start to plant the seeds, and you'll be surprised perhaps where it takes you.
Absolutely. And Valerie, we started with you, but we'll close it out with you. What's your best advice? And you can repeat some of the things that you mentioned already for travel advisors today as we look at luxury travel in the future.
I think the phrase that I have used consistently over the last few months is think about the rebirth, the growth, the recovery, whatever phrase you want to use. But think of it as when you started your business. How did you start your business? What was your role? What was your role? What was your decision of how you were doing it? What did you think you wanted to do? And how big did you dream to make it? So that if you think that you, each individual advisor, in my opinion, is in business as an entrepreneur. So you have to think about, how did I start? Think of those values and continue to talk about those values. And now with, if you've got many years experience or you're brand new into the business, but those of us with many years have lots to share about ups and downs and changes and opportunities. So take advantage of the challenge and make it an opportunity.
Wonderful advice. I want to thank all of you for participating in this panel. I think it's been fascinating. I know all of you have known all of you for quite some time. And I think, you know, you can hear the words that our panel has and take it to heart. Luxury travel is coming back. You got to look at it a little differently, but you can see where that we're that, you know, there is hope. We now this year absolutely hope. Now, I also want to urge all of you, you know, at Virtual Vacation Expo, we have an exhibitor floor. Please go check out the exhibitors who are supporting the show and have great things to show you and sell you for your clients. And I also want to urge you, go see all the panels that we have. We have a tremendous lineup of wonderful experts in luxury travel. I think it's one of the best lineups I've seen, and I've been in this business a little while, of some of the top names in luxury travel. I want to again thank all four of you for your time, and thank you, and we'll see you on the road.
Forward to it.
Perfect.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, keep traveling.